Welcome to Sailing Through Life, a journey to health, happiness, and living your dreams. My name is Lori, and I am your host. My guest today is my dear friend, Amy Rutherford Close. She is a certified nutritionist and a fitness trainer. She will be sharing her story with us today. Join me as we set sail on this adventure to discover ways to take care of yourself, find the positive in life, and continue to dream even when going through some of your darkest days. Listen to my inspiring guests as they share their stories and give hope to help you on your journey. My guest today is a wife and mother of three boys. Our first meeting was through a YouTube video post over a year ago. That was the beginning of our friendship. Since then, we have shared our journeys, good and bad. I'm grateful to have her as a friend.
We are all individuals and our journey is all different. The only thing is that we all want the same thing. We all want to be peaceful. We all want to find happiness. We all want health. And finding that and getting where you are based on where you're starting or where you want to go, you can't compare it.
Today's episode is Ship Shape. In this episode, we will be discussing staying positive during life challenges, the importance of fitness and nutrition, the power of spirituality, and finding your happy place. Please welcome Amy. Hello, Amy.
Hi, Lori. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm good today. I'm happy to be speaking with you.
So it's in light of what you're passionate about, I wanted to work in spirituality and how that helps with your determination and your discipline and doing what's best for you. How does that integrate with your life?
I didn't know it did for a long time. Having a strong faith base, how I endured growing up, first and foremost. I had a very difficult childhood. I came from a very, love this word, dysfunctional family. That's the therapy word.
Yeah.
And right, yes, dysfunctional. I had a father who was an abusive alcoholic. I had a mother who was obese and dealt with her life with food, overeating. And then when things, interesting enough, as we started this conversation about turning 40, and most women start, you know, menopausal issues at the time when my mother did, back then, this is a long time ago, when she started menopausal issues, they really didn't have the education, the resources they do now for women and understanding hormones and all that, and she was already struggling with obesity. They just sort of took everything out back then. That was their fix to everything for women with menopausal issues. They just full hysterectomies, and which actually puts you in full menopausal mode within 24 hours. And psychologically, as our hormones are all connected, and that was a whole aspect of health and wellness I had to do, was studying hormones, and that's a whole nother ball of wax. She instantly went into menopause and became emotionally unstable, as a lot of women did back through history. As I learned, what's a huge part of women's mental health from historical standpoint was due to that. When they went through menopause, they became very sick physically and psychologically. And because they medically put my mother into menopause by taking everything out, they didn't have a way to help that 40 years ago and before. And so she became unstable. And so I grew up in a house with an unstable mother and a very unhealthy father who ended up leaving. And I didn't know that I was a spiritual person, but something connected with me with that. I knew I wasn't the person that I was told I was through the abusive years. I was called lots of names. I was physically and emotionally abused. And I never succumbed to it. I wish I had the magic wand to tell people why I survived, and a lot of people don't. I meet a lot of people my age that are still very traumatized by their childhood, and it's left them incapable of dealing with a lot of hardships with life. That wasn't me. I rose through that. It made me empowered. It made me stronger. And it made me, for the lack of a better word, a better person. Through my years of development, I looked upon my parents as human beings that were very weak and that were just not capable of doing more than what they did. I didn't look back on them as evil, or I just felt bad that they had been so sad and miserable themselves. And the tagline, if you've ever heard it, hurt people hurt people. And my parents came into their marriage as hurt people. They came into parenthood as hurt people. And so they didn't do a good job with themselves, with their marriage, and with raising my sister and I. And I was determined not to repeat that as a human being and as a parent. And I happened to find my best friend and my husband of 30 years who grew up identical to how I did and looked at life exactly the way I did. He did not fall down that dark hole of misery and sadness and pain, which so many people do. And spirituality became a huge part of our life, and we knew that our marriage needed it, that we didn't know how to be married. We didn't know what a healthy marriage was. We weren't taught it. We didn't have demonstrations of that. And we've had to work it out. We've had to figure it out on our own. And having God be the center of our marriage became huge. It allowed us to understand what true forgiveness is. And through that, we've been able to maintain a healthy, intact marriage, which is rare, very rare. And it brought me through that. I became a minister at my church. And everybody they who does that, who becomes a teacher, kind of finds the platform. And of course, I had no idea that, of course, my platform was health and fitness. And they'd never had anybody do that, even though if you happen to read the Bible and that's your faith base, it's all over the Bible. And I didn't even know that. I started researching health and wellness and fitness and food in the Bible. And it is from the beginning all the way to the end. And it is massively, but we don't focus on that. Most people go to church, focus on healing the mind. You know, the spiritual part is, you know, mind, body, soul, but the body part kind of tends to focus on addiction when you're in church. It kind of tends to focus on people coming out of really horrible addiction, coming out of jail, coming out of abuse. And it sort of doesn't really delve into the aspects of nutrition, that piece, but that is in the Bible as much as anything else. And in each section, whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, the scriptures are huge. And when I started doing the research, I even went to my pastor at the time, and he has struggled with his weight over the years, very severe struggles. And he brought me in as a personal mentor to him, and we would have really great private confidential talks about it. And he said he himself, being a pastor for over 30 years, didn't delve into that either, even though he knew the scriptures I was bringing up. But he said it's like he wasn't ready to really take them on either, because the Bible speaks to you where you're needed the most. But you have to be open to it. You have to be open to it. And what's hard about it, I think, when you talk about spirituality and anything that's difficult, is actually doing the work, right? I mean, that's the whole thing about if you're going to do it. Because when it gets too hard, we can't do it. We often will shy away from it because it's just too painful. And that's where people are. You have to be able to walk through the pain. And that takes years for people, and or the entire lifetime. As we talk about spirituality, it is your whole life.
Right.
It isn't just a moment. It isn't just that month. It isn't just that year that things are horrible like this year. It is your journey, and your journey is until you meet your maker. And so that's when it ends. And so you go, you have the good years and the bad years and the good days and the bad days. But going to that place and continuing to do the work is how we're going to get there, no matter if it's mind, body, or soul. And that's where it plays in, because I do all three. And when one of them falls down, then you have to go to the others for the strength to go back to the one that you're weakest in. Finding the balance is lifelong. And I'll find myself in a week of spiritual hardships and spiritual, as we call in that sect, spiritual warfare, which is kind of what we're all in this year.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is. It's spiritual warfare. And for everybody's journey, it's different. And some people, it will be the physical part will take center stage. And other people, it will be the spiritual side or all of it. And finding that balance between all three of those, it can be very painful. And it will bring you to your knees, literally. And that's why you've got to reach out. You've got to find like-minded people. You've got to find a support base. You've got to find people that you feel comfortable reaching out to when you're having those hard times that will understand your journey. Because we're not here alone. We're not meant to be alone. And finding people that are encouraging and uplifting is really what makes humanity what it should be. And the fighting and the anger and all the stuff that's been going on is really, really going to end at some point, but we have to find our way through it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when you talk about keeping the balance and trying to work through and find the mind, body, spirit, what do you say, what would you say is your happy place, and how does that play into the spirituality?
Something that I do for myself every day, and I've been doing it for years, is I get up very early. Getting up early, I didn't choose to originally. I did it because I had to take care of my children on my own, and I wanted to be able to actually shower and shave my legs before both at the same day, and wash my hair. And when you're taking care of an infant, and a toddler and a child, no one's there to help you with any of those people that need a lot, especially infants and toddlers. I was breastfeeding. And so I had to get up before my baby did, because as soon as he got up, he was ravenous. So I had to breastfeed him, change a diaper. So he would get up around 5 a.m. once he started sleeping better, about 5. So I had to get up at 4.
Mm-hmm.
So I started getting up at 4 to get up, take care of myself, take a shower, put myself together for the day. And as my husband has always said, if mommy isn't happy, ain't nobody happy. And that's where I found my happy place originally. And then as the children got older, and, you know, they didn't get up quite early and they didn't need me for everything to get ready, I found myself still wanting to take care of myself and not getting up at the same time they did. I took care of myself first so I could take care of them.
Right.
So I kept getting up at 4 a.m. And now over the last several years, I have my two oldest that are grown and out of the house, and my youngest, I get up in the morning and I do my scripture in the morning. The first thing in the morning I do is scripture. Because now when I get up, I have chronic pain, and some days are better than others. It's with me forever, and I kind of have learned to handle it in a way that works for me. I get up with chronic pain, and so I've got to get up, and I've got to warm my body. And I, in the wintertime, as I dislike the winter intensely as it's coming, I'm a summer girl. I like the heat, the sun, the warm. I have a big blanket downstairs. I come downstairs to my office in front of my computer where I'm sitting right now. And I get out my Bible and I have a journal. And I have my one-on-one time with scripture, and I do it for about 30 minutes. And then after that, I go take my shower. And some days I do yoga before my shower, and some days it's after my shower. I do yoga in the morning, which is part of my spirituality process, as well as I need to for my body. I have a very bad spine. I've had lots of spinal surgery. And so it doesn't want to move in the morning. Things are stiff and sore. And so to loosen the body, I do yoga every morning for about 20 minutes. And so spiritual first, I'm centered. I feel better about the day. I feel grateful. That's where I get my gratitude from every morning, even if I feel sick. And there are some mornings I feel sick. I literally am nauseous. And I have gratitude for getting up, for having a new day, for being able to be available for my family. And that's what gets me through every day. And then I do my yoga, I wash, I do all my ritual beautifications as I do. Someday it's a red lipstick day, I'm telling you right now. And I have a red lipstick day. And my husband knows when he sees me, if it's a red lipstick day, he goes, "Can I do anything for you?" Because he knows I hurt. Yeah. It's a lot easier to be in pain or to feel nauseous if you look good. And I'm just telling you right now. And so, you know, I like my toenails painted, my fingernails painted. I do my hair. Today was a red lipstick day. I'm telling you, I'm wearing red. I'm wearing a red shirt. I got red lipstick on. I look cute. But when I started the day, I felt horrible. Yeah, no, I don't. I don't know. Yeah. So that's my process. And it works for me.
Right.
But it took a long time to get here. Yeah.
Well, and you know, you figured out that when you start at that place in your day, it's kind of setting the groundwork. It's kind of setting the theme for the day. And if you can really shift your mindset, then it you do have more tolerance in the day. You have more patience with yourself and others. You just are in a different place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like I said, I can have really hard days and still have a good day. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I'm not young anymore. And I'm not new at this. And so when people start out, they ask similar questions. Well, how do you do it? But what works for me isn't going to work for everybody.
Right.
And that's why I have to help people find there is a way that they can make it work. But it's not going to happen today. It's not going to happen tomorrow. But to have belief in themselves and be confident that it can happen. But it's not easy. It takes a long time, just like any healing. I look at it all as healing. Mm-hmm. It didn't happen overnight that you got where you are. It's not going to happen overnight that you're going to change. Baby steps.
Right. Well, and it regardless of, you know, when you have these things you do and they are personal and they are individual, but there's a core basis to those things.
Yep.
Keeping yourself healthy physically and mentally, having a sense of gratitude, even when things are really totally opposite of where you thought you would be, is still the finding the gratitude in the day. There are certain things that how you do it, if it's saying three things that you're grateful for, or if it's reading your Bible or whatever it is, you have to find those things. You know, how would you go about getting to those different places and getting yourself squared away and giving yourself forgiveness when you mess up or you don't do something a certain way? But you have to have a sense of peace with your life.
Yep. Yep. You mentioned forgiveness. That's at the top. I think that really is something most people struggle with because they all mess up. We all mess up every day in some way or another. We don't do everything perfect. But using it as a tool to get yourself down or to give up, in success, there's failure. And I tell people that you will not actually be successful until you fail over and over again. It's the getting up that counts. Every time you fall down, you must get up.
Mm-hmm.
And there's tons of things that have been said through the centuries, the little quotes and all that stuff that I could say, but I didn't come up with them. But that's really what it is. It's not how many times you fall down. It's how many times you get up. And you're going to fail, and you're going to do it wrong, and you're not going to be successful the first who knows how many times you do it. And even when you are successful, doesn't mean you're going to stay in success. And finding what works next is the goal. And that's why I said everybody's journey is their whole life. Your whole life is the journey. We are here for a purpose. And your job is first to take care of yourself, but also finding your purpose. What are you here for? What are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to learn? And that's where, to me, my gratitude and my gratefulness comes from, is I have found my purpose. Some people don't find it till later in life. Some people find it early on. We're all different. Mm-hmm. And you can't judge yourself against somebody else. That was a thing when I was teaching fitness classes. I really enjoy that. And I miss that this year, is connecting with people and having them struggle with them looking either at me as the instructor or someone next to them while we're all doing fitness. And that was kind of my mantra in the beginning. We are all individuals and our journey is all different. The only thing is that we all want the same thing. We all want to be peaceful. We all want to find happiness. We all want health. And finding that and getting where you are based on where you're starting or where you want to go, you can't compare it. We are made individually for a reason. And, please don't judge yourself on your inability to do this exercise at the same rate or the same intensity that your neighbor can do it. They're in a different place than you are. And that's something I think, if I had to speak to being a woman, I think that's kind of sad to me that's happened in our group as a human, that we've been the worst at. We have been the most judgmental. I am judged more by women than men in that regard. Mm-hmm. Men have their own stuff, but women should be at that whole saying of sisterhood. I struggle with it a little bit. I wish it existed the way it's described. I have not seen that in the scale it should be. Women have been my biggest critics and the biggest negative people in my life. And I'm sad to say that. They can be the most hurtful and judgmental because of how they feel about themselves. And I'm sad about that.
Yeah, I was going to say that's something that, people who are saying something are there's something inside of them. Yeah,
that's right. That's right. And sadly, that's what social media now does. And it gives them this platform to be cruel. And I'm sad about that. I only have sons. I have three sons. I don't know what it would be like to raise a daughter in this day and age. Raising sons, it has its own stuff. They have their own, and I'm not saying it doesn't happen to boys too, but this whole industry for girls, I don't even know. Most of my girlfriends have daughters, so I've heard through them what they've gone through, and my heart breaks for them because it's just a beast out there. And I'm not one of those women. I'm not one of those women that needs acceptance from other people. I'm kind of an odd duck in that way, and I'm grateful. Like I said, when I came up through how I was raised, I needed it, but because I didn't get it, it wasn't a detriment in how I've become who I am. My mother struggled with her own self-identity and she never loved herself. My mother is still living. She's in her late 80s and she has never liked herself and it breaks my heart.
Yeah.
And I know that about her. I can understand her humanity now, but it makes me very sad. So she couldn't give it to me because she didn't have it.
Right.
And I understand that in her. And I'm sad that she doesn't have it. I'm sad that she didn't love herself enough. That's why she couldn't love me the right way. And I understand that. But that's what I see out there. I see these young women that are just not happy. And they're judging their exterior as much as their interior of what they should be. And this whole thing of, I don't even know how to do it. I don't own a cell phone. So I don't know how to do all those things on the cell phones that all my friends have shown me. And they make themselves look different than what they really look like.
Mm-hmm.
When I don't know how to do that. So like I have sent you pictures of me. That's that's what I look like, you
right.
know, good, bad, or whatever. I don't know how to make myself look different in my photos. I don't know how to, you know, I make myself, I don't know. I mean, if I could, I'll be honest. I'm going to be honest on here. I would make myself have a bigger butt. I'm just going to say it right now. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to do that. I know there's some kind of program you could do. I don't know.
There's a button maybe for that. Yeah.
Okay, good, good. A butt button. Yeah, I don't know how to do it. So I don't know. I know that, but they're doing that. And I see these pictures and I'm like, and so I have friends, God bless them, who send me stuff. And I'm like, I know they don't look like, I'm like, I don't even know what that is. I have wrinkles. I have, you know, I don't know.
Well, there's a feature on my phone. We call it the pretty button. Ah. And the more you slide the little slider over, the more smooth and youthful you look.
And but does it look nice or does it look like something's wrong?
If you do it a little too much, your face, you start looking very flat. But yeah, if you are in a certain lighting and you know, overall people don't see you that way, you can use that feature. But yeah, there are some times where you look like you're almost animated because it takes away everything.
Right, right. Yeah, you look like a mannequin. Right. I'm like, oh yeah, that's a mannequin that's on the store. Some of it I get, like, okay, for instance, my middle child suffered with severe acne. So in his school pictures, we had the touch-up done.
Right.
On his severe acne. That I get. I mean, hello.
Because right. that follows that. You. Right.
Yes. And so, you know, as his acne is starting to get better, as he's becoming a man, you know, I don't want him to look back on his beautiful, you know, we took him to a portrait studio and had these beautiful pictures taken of him that, you know, he's got bad acne. So,
right.
You know, that part I get. I love that. So there's, but with anything, right, it's good and bad.
Right.
So, you know, yes, you can too. People ask me, oh, you're going to love this, a segue a little bit, but writing the same thing. You can do too much of anything. You can exercise too much. You can eat too much healthy food. I mean, hello, you can do, you know, I had a client one time years ago, ask me if you could drink too much water. Yeah, you can. I mean, you can do too much of anything. So even if it's health, quote, you know, healthy, so once again, it comes all the way back around balance.
Yeah.
Finding that balance, which is what we all struggle with, to find what is the balance in my life. How do I make it all work so that things are a little better, a little easier? And that's, everybody's different. I wish it wasn't, but it's true. It's different for all of us.
Well, I want to keep talking, but I'm going to have a lot of editing.
Yes, right. Of course you are. I'm trying to clear my throat and yeah, right. of course.
But we can do this again. I would love to do this again with you because I know there's a lot more we could talk about. We can go on for a long time because you are just, you are definitely a wealth of knowledge and very easy to talk to about a lot of these things. So it just flows very easily. I really, really appreciate you talking with me today and sharing your story and information about fitness and nutrition.
Thank you. Well, thank you. I'm so honored that you wanted to speak with me on here. It's really enjoyable. I appreciate it.
Thank you for joining me on this special two-part episode. I hope you found today's episode helpful. If you or someone you care about would like to share their experience or know of an organization to help even just one person, please message me on Instagram at Sailing Through Life Podcast. Join me on this endeavor. I would love to grow this caring support community. Be sure to subscribe to the show. You can find me on Spotify, Stitcher, Anchor, Apple, or whatever podcast platform you use. I'd be grateful if you could leave a review and share it. If you have any thoughts on today's episode or topics you'd like me to further touch on, please message me at Sailing Through Life Podcast on Instagram or send me a message on Anchor. I would also appreciate if you could support my podcast. Please visit Anchor to find out more. Thanks again. Chat with you next time.